At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
It's 12:30, and you're listening to the Ghost Story Pass.
Welcome to the Ghost Story, guys. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Ian Gibbs.
And this is the show where we talk about spooks, specters, and all the other things watching us from the shadows beyond the campfire. Some conversations only make sense after the sun has set, and this is most definitely one. Thanks for tuning in. This is bonus episode number 6, and we're coming to you from that tiny mountain cabin you dream about but can never quite reach. Ian, you really screwed with me there because we recorded this 3 times and I'm Ian Gibbs got weirder every single time.
I threatened you if you kept screwing up, I was going to start using an accent.
Well, it just throws
I'm
me
Ian
off.
Gibbs. I think next time you do it, I'm just going to go, Ian Gibbs.
Oh, God.
Like it's a bad edited insert, and I've actually been dead for 3 years.
Well, you keep that up, you might be. Jesus. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. It is our bonus episode. It's November, and we were originally not going to do a bonus episode this month just because we thought, you know, we don't want to do it every month if we don't have something to say.
Yeah, exactly.
And then through random happenstance.
Yeah, and Remembrance Day.
Well, Remembrance Day too, yeah, of course. And it fits the theme. We found something from the First World War that we thought we'd share with everyone. But before we get there, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot.
No.
Doing the ghost walk tonight. Yep.
No, I'm right there with you. Yeah, it's been
Just coasting, doing just the regular things, day job, right. Cooking meals, cleaning the house.
Yeah.
No, nothing too exciting. My fish died. That made me sad.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have a little salt water.
What happened, you know?
Fish. I think he just reached the end of his time.
Ah, fair enough.
See, Brennan, we all have set periods of time.
Not
on
me.
This earth,
I'm going to beat the odds.
He was a yellow blue-tailed, no, he was a blue yellow-tailed damsel named Mr. Fish.
Of course.
And now he's no longer with us, so that
well,
was sad.
Fare thee well, Mr. Fish.
Yes, I cleaned up his tank, except I decided to, I read on how to get a tank really clean, because it always leaves white marks, and they said, oh, dump a thing of vinegar in there.
Right.
So I did, along with water, filled it right up the top, left it for 6 hours, and it's true, it's perfect.
Right.
But then I'm like, I don't want to waste the vinegar. So I bought a box of baking soda, and I poured it down the drain of the sink, and then I picked the tank up, and I dumped it.
Oh,
into the sink.
Okay.
And unfortunately, not all the baking soda had made it down the drain. And all of a sudden, there was this explosion of this huge white foaming mass coming up and over. Luckily, it's 2 sinks, and there's the middle divider is lower than the top of the sink, or
right.
I would have been screwed.
Jeez.
So I'm frantically pushing the bubbles into the second sink. And yeah, no. So it wasn't a great, great moment for me. Not a super proud moment.
That, well,
lesson learned. But then, unfortunately, the entire condo smelled like a fish and chip store, so that didn't work out so hot.
I don't know. That sounds pretty great to me.
Not for 6 or 7 hours.
Agree or disagree.
So I would have been happier if it smelled like a KFC.
KFC depresses me.
Well,
every time I walk into a KFC,
it the floor is always greasy.
Oh, it feels like 1996.
Yeah.
No one knows any better.
Yeah.
And we're all going
to
die.
And I have to say, since I discovered roasting chicken,
yes,
at the Korean places and Chicken on the Run where we usually order from, I don't know that I could go back to
KFC.
Oh,
why would you?
It's a really sad facsimile of what.
So you've tried some of those Korean places?
I've tried one. Yeah.
Which
it was
one?
Really good. The one on Quadra Street.
Chicken 649.
Yes.
And it's good?
Yeah.
I've heard great things. Sometimes it's quite a lineup.
I went sort of the middle of the day and there was nobody else there, but apparently they called it that. Or did you tell me this? I'm going to embarrass myself in front of you.
I don't think
they
told you this. So
started the business with money they got from the lottery.
Yeah.
649.
Yeah, they won.
I think you did tell me that
because
I haven't
me.
Talked about fried chicken with anybody else but you. And nor would I.
I'm your fried chicken friend.
You're
that's
fried
right.
Chicken
yeah.
friend.
We have to have fried chicken fidelity.
So I want to try the place. There's 2 places now in Cook Street Village.
Right.
Empire, which is tied to the donut shop.
Oh, of course.
And then another Korean place.
I think it's Thunderbird, is that one.
Yeah, where Cherries used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Rosie's.
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 All right, so on this episode, again, we hadn't really planned anything. And then a friend of mine was at the university library and was browsing through books, and they actually have a paranormal section up there.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm going to go and have a look myself one of these days.
Yeah.
But she found this book called Psychical Phenomena in the War by Harroward Carrington, which is a name great people just don't have
name
anymore.
That's a great name.
And I think it was published in something like 1917 or 1918.
Oh, wow.
So it's sort of a retrospective on the First World War.
Which is interesting because that's when spiritualism got really big.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because of all the deaths and Spanish influenza.
Of course.
World War One and Spanish influenza made the world, like, Ouija board crazy.
Right, because everyone was trying to reach out to people on the other side.
They'd lost so many.
Right. There's a bunch of great stories in there. I haven't finished it yet. But the one that caught my eye, and I just thought it would fit nicely in a bonus episode, I called Sapper Kelly's Search for Water. And before we get started, I wanted to just check our sources. We used the book I mentioned, esoterex.com, and I'll put a link to their article in the show notes, History Channel Online, and the Government of New Zealand's website. I researched as much of this as possible without bogging down in history, because there was this moment where I was thinking, oh, God, I need to understand the Gallipoli campaign in the First World War to be able to...
Right.
And I thought, no, this is stupid. Yeah. Why am I... No. No, why am I...
Because you're Brennan, and that's what you do to yourself.
Yes, exactly. You understand.
Yes, I do.
Now, you are not familiar with Sapper Kelly's Search for Water.
I am not.
Okay, so I will tell you the story.
I will love to hear the story.
All right, so the story, it starts during the Gallipoli campaign of World War I.
Right.
And again, military history bores the hell out of me, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time breaking it down. But the basics are, in 1915, Allied forces tried and failed to take control of the Dardanelles Strait, which is part of Turkey.
Right.
And it was controlled by the Ottoman Empire at that point. And they tried a naval assault, which went badly. And then they tried again on land. And that also went badly. And I've read one of the reasons that it went badly is they completely underestimated both the number and capabilities of the Ottoman troops. So the invasion was centered on the Gallipoli Peninsula. And like I said, it went badly. If you want the specifics, you can look it up, but the fighting went on for months. In the end, over 130,000 men from both sides were killed.
Wow.
And double that number again were wounded.
Good grief.
So a huge problem for Allied forces was the lack of available fresh water, and this is where the whole thing stems from. The Gallipoli Peninsula was such a dry place that the water had to be shipped in these huge barges from Malta, pumped into tanks, and then moved by mule through... the last place God made.
Not very practical.
No. And the Corps of Royal Engineers tried searching for wells, but they...
Came up dry.
They came up dry.
Hi-yo.
Get out. And of course, this was a surprise only to the Allies.
Yeah, of course.
Because
of course.
The Turks had been pretty vocal about the fact that this was an untenable position for an army of any size to hold because there's no water.
Yeah.
As if it wasn't bad enough that they were blown to hell when they landed, they were running out of water. And so this is where we meet... Sapper Kelly.
Nice.
In case anyone is wondering, because I was, sapper is a term for a soldier who performs engineering duties.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
No, yeah, I had to look that up. His name was Stephen Kelly.
Right.
And he was originally English. No one's perfect.
Isn't your wife English?
Shut up. That was an attack at you.
That's where I was born, but your wife is more British than I am.
But she has sex with me, so...
Nope,
she
not
gets
doing
mixed...
that.
Nope,
so
no, you're certainly
she
not.
She wins. Threw up a little bit in my mouth.
But anyway, so yeah, Stephen Kelly was English. He was born in Maidstone, Kent, but he emigrated to Queensland, Australia when he was a young boy.
Emigrated or?
Well, yeah. You stole a candy bar, off you go.
Off you go,
to
boy.
Botany Bay.
Under the boat.
You little bastard. He was in Gallipoli as a member of the 3rd Light Horse Brigade. He was presented to the brass as someone who could douse for water.
Very cool.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, dowsing is the practice of using a small tool.
I was going to say, so you didn't practice with that.
Oh, you dirty motherfucker. I'm going to leap across this table like a spider monkey.
No, you won't. Well, I'd pay money to see that. More of a bear stumbling off a cliff with his head stuck in an empty log.
I was thinking a beehive.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Anyways, so dowsing is using a
forked stick or crossing rods, right? Don't they use, what are those called?
Yeah, crossing rods. I don't know what they're called, but yeah. They're
crossing rods.
Crossing rods. Mm-hmm. Or a copper rod.
Right.
And basically, it allows you to determine the location of underground water and other things.
Very cool.
And actually, one of the guys I interviewed while I was writing A Strange Little Place, available everywhere, find what you sold.
Or Amazon.
Mostly Amazon. Mostly. Hey, someone bought an autographed copy of my book through our web store.
Bless their heart.
Of course, I had to order it from Amazon. So my profit will be about 57
that
cents.
That is so terrible.
I know. Well, I was looking. I thought, okay, so someone has ordered an autographed copy of our books. So I will. I don't have any left, so I'll just get it on Amazon. And I thought, well, you know, a lot of the times you can get secondhand copies for cheap. And I know on Amazon.com, there's several copies of my book for...
at least 11.
Yeah, sweet dick all. Like, it's cheap.
Yeah.
So I go on Amazon.ca to try and determine whether or not I can get a cheap copy.
Different story.
All the fucking used copies are more than the new ones. It's not like they get better with age. But holy man. So anyways, getting back to Sapper Kelly.
He's not going anywhere.
Well, this is true. But right, getting back to the point of me mentioning the book, someone I interviewed for the book, he actually uses a pendulum to douse for minerals on old mining maps.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. And he's actually done fairly well with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So when Stephen Kelly was a child in Queensland, the story goes that an elderly water diviner came through his neighborhood and was divining for water. Because, you know, Australia's awful and
really,
they need water.
Yeah.
Kelly would follow the old man around as he wandered around with his divining twig. And when the old man found water, Kelly said he felt his nerves twitch and a thrill go through him that wasn't just excitement. Stop looking at me like that. We're honoring this man's story.
Because the old man's rod. I see where this is coming.
Is this a familiar story then?
I think I saw this on video. Anyway.
Yes. So Kelly decided to try it for himself, and he found he had an aptitude for it.
Cool.
Back on the Gallipoli Peninsula, the brass were so desperate for water that they figured they'd try pretty much anything.
Sure.
So Kelly was given the go-ahead, and he started the next morning. Rather than a twig this time, though, he used a piece of copper, which he said would not only allow him to locate water, but whether it was a pocket of water, a spring, or an underground river.
Wow.
And within a few hours, he located a well 100 yards away from headquarters. And once opened, it produced about 2,000 gallons of cold water per hour.
Holy cow, that would be a lifesaver.
And the book says artesian water. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I do.
Well, what does it mean?
It means it comes through the rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a good thing.
So
an artesian well is better than a spring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it comes through the rock, so it's filtered,
Oh, there you go. So, so artesian water.
Yeah, cool.
Two other wells were found and opened shortly after that. And by the next week, he had located about 32 wells.
Holy cow.
Producing 100,000 gallons, producing enough water for 100,000 men with 1 gallon per day per man.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And some of the wells he located were within 50 yards of where the other engineers had sunken probes. And they had gone further than he eventually ended up having to.
They'd gone deeper with their probes.
So it's not always about whose probe goes the furthest.
It's where it goes. Good
and
to know.
How well it goes there. Happy Remembrance Day. Let's talk about boners.
And probes.
God.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, Brendan. Way to go. You've got some very conflicted feelings here.
Jesus. Moving on. Kelly basically got an attaboy from the generals, and he was mentioned in some dispatches, but the brass had to get back to, you know, trying to slaughter people who they barely understood.
Of course.
Yeah, so he was soon forgotten. And eventually they evacuated the peninsula in retreat, and Gallipoli, I think most everyone knows this, it became to the Australians what Dieppe was to Canadians, by which I mean somewhere a whole bunch of people died for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's the end of the story of Sapper Kelly. It's nothing real fancy. It was kind of a neat story I wanted to share with the listeners. And
very cool. And it's cool that dousing is still definitely a thing.
Oh, absolutely.
In Alberta, I know farmers will hire these guys to come and find wells for the animals, for the homes. Like, yeah, it's a thing.
I was reading a piece in Fortean Times a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about how some, what are they called, utility companies are still using dowsers.
Yes.
And it's some people, of course, the sort of the materialists, the rationalist types, they're pissed off about this because this goes against, you know, these guys are witch doctors, they're full of shit, they can't actually do what they say they can do.
Except they can.
Oh, sure, they can. But again, that's not the point. The point is winning the argument.
Yeah.
So some of these companies, it's a little bit of a dirty secret that they do this because they just don't want anyone to know.
No.
It's kind of like the police detectives.
Police using psychics.
Psychics, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is done more than I think people realize.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sometimes no.
No, it's not done. But a lot of them,
it does make a huge difference. And I don't know. I think I'd love to try dowsing. I wish I knew someone who
absolutely
did it. That'd be really cool to try it out.
I mean, I've used a pendulum, but
has it worked for you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. It was really incredible, actually. Because I know the sort of the standard explanation is the ideomotor effect, which of course is like micro movements.
Yeah.
But when I had this sort of pendulum dangling and was asking questions, I have never been capable of making something move with movements that tiny without seeing my fingers move.
Right.
And my fingers were still.
Wow.
And this thing was swinging wildly side to side. Back and forth was yes. Circle was no.
Yeah.
And it was just going.
Wow.
It was sort of a limited experiment because I didn't really want to make a habit of doing that. Just because I don't trust it, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you trust these things too much, you lose your ability to determine for yourself.
You drop your guard.
That's it. You drop your guard. And you come to rely on them.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. You don't know what you're talking to.
No.
You don't know what's guiding you.
No.
You can say it's your spirit guide or whatever. You don't know.
Mm-mm.
And you need to be careful.
No, and it's not like some bad entity is going to tell you the truth.
No, that's exactly it, too. Yeah, yeah, 100%. No, so it's a fun thing to play around with. But I would like to try actually dowsing for minerals or water.
Gold, I think.
Gold would be sweet.
I'm going to douse for gold.
I'm just imagining walking around Victoria and you end up come back with like all these gold bars with swastikas stamped in them.
In Victoria. This is where the Nazis hid their gold. And they're like, oh, those are... No, don't touch them. They're mine.
That's right. It might be hard to pawn those.
I'll melt them down.
I imagine this is going to go as well as your experiment with the vinegar and the flour.
Baking soda.
Oh, right, pardon me.
Baking. The other great experiment, actually, did I tell this one already about the beeswax?
Nope.
So when I lived in Winnipeg, I had a boss who was a tool.
Right.
And I was big into making beeswax candles.
Okay.
And I would sell them locally. And so I had this going on, and there's a woman who was at the church I was at, and she said, I'm going to give you all my wax for my bees. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. But you had to clarify it. So what you do is you put it in a big disposable pan, you put it in the oven, it melts, all the impurities float to the top, you skim it, and then you've got this wonderful beeswax. So behind my back, this guy went to this woman and told her that I didn't want the wax, and she was to give it to him.
The motherfucker.
Yeah.
At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
So then I found out about this and I was so furious. And then he had the balls to come to me and be like, how do you clarify it?
You dirty bastard.
So I said, well, you get a disposable turkey pan and you put the wax in and you melt it and then you pull it and you skim it off. So 2 days later, he comes to find me and he is furious. Not at me, at himself. Because what he'd done was he'd put all the wax, probably about 10, 15 pounds of wax, into this turkey pan, put it in the oven, and then he went and he grabbed the corners of the pan. He didn't put it on a cookie sheet.
What?
He didn't put it on a cookie sheet. So when he grabbed the corners of the pan, it folded in half.
Oh, you dildo.
And beeswax went all over his stove, all over the kitchen floor, all over the oven. Like, it was a massive mess. And I looked at him, and all I could think of was... karma.
Yeah, that was
pure karma.
That was a fucking freight train of karma.
Kind of awesome.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, no, see, I say it like that could have happened to me, but it wouldn't have, because I would have put it on a cookie sheet.
Yeah,
because everyone knows those pans are terrible. Well, they fold them
why out. Would you even use a disposal? I guess because you're gonna throw
wax.
It away, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fair
you
enough.
Don't want to use a nice
right pan. Right,
that's never coming in, because the worst thing is you try and clean it and then it goes down the drain. And then it
clogs
cools
up
down
drain.
The drain.
Right.
Exactly.
You ever hear, because that happens with fat.
Yeah.
You ever hear about those fatbergs in the London sewer?
I have.
Just
that's
huge.
Not good. Well, British people deep fry everything.
Yeah, that was a good point. Well, if I had eat British food, I would too.
No, they're really bad.
I can't imagine. I mean, we, with fat, we pour it into a jar.
Yeah, I pour mine into like a can and then I'll throw it away, or I'll save it because I use it to make roast potatoes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Bacon, that can't be good for you.
Who cares?
Oh, I see. Okay.
They're delicious. It's a British thing.
Of course it is.
Yeah. No, I never pour it down the drain. It's It's no. bad for you. It's bad for everything.
Well, we composted. We just tossed it in the,
compost. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I told you about the thing with the raccoon in the compost. It was late at night. I was in line in bed, and I heard a noise outside on the balcony. We have a compost, like a plastic bin that gets taken away.
Yeah.
And I heard this scraping. And I thought, I think I know what that is. So I go out. Now I'm bare-ass naked. Go into the living room, open the balcony door. And sure enough, I can see in the dark a raccoon tugging on the compost bin, trying to pull it and get into it. And I said to him, hey, buddy, get the fuck out of here. And he sort of looked at me. Now, the thing is, I'm naked.
Yeah.
And our patio faces the street.
Yep.
So I have to kind of wrap myself toga-like in the curtain and then turn on my cell phone.
You should burn those curtains.
Yeah, I did. Turn on the cell phone flashlight, and I'm shining it on him and trying to sort of shout at him without shouting
like,
at him.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I start hissing at him.
Oh, how'd that
and
go?
And growling at him. Oh, that worked.
Did it?
Yeah, he started backing away. I was going, Rrr,
oh, Rrr. Yeah, yeah.
But I am, a 35-year-old naked man standing with a curtain wrapped around me, growling out the window.
Okay, weirdly, I've had a similar experience.
I have to hear this.
It's when I lived in my house out in San Antonio and I had chickens.
Okay.
And one night, something grabbed one of the chickens.
Right.
The hens were going crazy. I didn't know. Raccoon, a cougar, I didn't know.
Right.
So I run out of the house. I'm in my underwear. And I'm running around the backyard. And I'm yelling. And I hear this chicken way up in the tree. And I hear it going like,
ah. Oh, no.
I know. So then I run out of the backyard onto the public piece of land back there in my underwear still in the middle of the night. I'm like, give me back my damn chicken. And then it dawns on me, if it's a cougar.
Yeah, what the fuck are you going to do?
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't even bring a stick.
Jesus.
So I kind of went, eh, you can have that one. And I just went back. There's no way I was getting that chicken back.
No.
So I just went back in and closed up the hen house. And
poor chicken.
But yeah, no. Another time with the chickens, I was all excited because we drove home from work and I look out and I'm like, oh, look, an owl. That's so cool. I've never seen an owl here before.
Oh, yeah. No.
Idiot.
Yep.
And then the next day, three of our chickens got.
Three?
Three
Holy
taken out.
Shit.
Yeah. So, live and learn.
Oh, man.
Not great, though.
No.
No.
I was just watching this movie last night called The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. It's like a slasher film
yep.
from the 70s. There's a scene where the main character who's investigating this series of murders goes to visit this reclusive Italian artist out right. in the country. And the artist is trying to find something, and he opens a door, and this cat runs out. And he says, oh, lock the door. Lock the window. So the guy locks the window, and the artist grabs the cat and says, oh, you almost got away. And he puts him in this little pen with all these other cats. And the main character says to the artist, why do you keep them in the pen? He says, oh, to keep them fat. He's like, well, why would you want to keep them fat? Well, to eat them, of course.
Oh!
And the camera cuts back to the table where they had been eating together, and obviously he'd been eating cat. I was so upset by this. I was hashtag triggered. I was not okay with this Italian son of a bitch. I understand it's a movie. It's not real. The idea of it offended me.
In Asia, I'm pretty sure I had cat.
Oh, yeah. No, fair enough.
Pretty sure. I mean, in a country where there's just no protein sources, you eat what you can catch.
Yep.
Essentially.
And I mean, I've seen a cow play fetch. So, I feel bad about that, too.
Yeah.
No. But just that was over the line.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That. All right. So that's going to do it for the bonus episode. Again, this is sort of a quick little one to share that story with you guys.
Yeah. And you know what? It just shows you where weird paranormal esoteric stuff is happening in all kinds of places that you have no idea about.
Yeah, and I think it's important to be reminded of the fact that just because you are told something is true does not mean it is true.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you're told these things are bullshit, dowsing is bullshit, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, it does.
Yeah.
It does. There are people who say they can do it and they cannot.
Right.
But that does not mean it is not possible.
Well, it's like psychics. I've met people who claim they're psychic and they're no more psychic than my left toe, but
sure.
You meet other people and you're like, whoa.
I know a guy who used to lie pathologically, and there was this fella I used to work with. His name was Richard. He was the most efficient person I've ever worked with. Richard, if you're out there, you're the greatest. He was also the band leader for the Alpenrose Band, and he needed a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, who liked to lie, said, oh, I play the drums.
No.
And Richard said, okay, you come to practice. So this guy comes to practice. He's sitting at the drum kit. He cannot play the drums.
No.
And Richard puts the music down in front of him, and he gave it the try, hoping perhaps that the spirit would infect him. Nope, he could not play the drums.
That is not something you want to lie about.
No, because you are going to be caught out.
100%.
But just because that man could not play the drums does not mean no one can play the drums.
No, exactly. 100%. I mean, you can fake some things like, oh, you should come over, I'll make you dinner, and then you order in, but you don't tell the people you ordered in. Like, that kind of thing you can fake, but playing a musical instrument in a public venue? Yeah. You can't make that one. No.
So there's much more strangeness in the world than some folks would like have you believe. And I find that comforting.
I do too.
All right. So that's going to do it for bonus episode number 6. Thanks for joining us. We will be back in a week with episode number 46. And until then, into the darkness we go.
Oh, I have to tell you something, but you can't record it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so.
You're such a prick.
And then I.
You're the worst. You're the worst.
But the promise.